Today we continue our exploration of the spiritual practice of stillness. Let us begin by inviting stillness into our minds and spirits while Forrest kindles the flame of our faith. Breathe in, breathe out. Today we have the pleasure of welcoming into our congregation 11 new members. After taking some time to learn about our congregation, these people have decided that they would like to make this their spiritual home. I will begin our ceremony by introducing each of our new members, and then we will all participate in the responsive reading that is printed on the back of the new member booklet that you received with your order of service. New members, as I call your names, please come forward to bring the responsive reading with you and stay standing up here. Sarah Kendall. Doug McGinnis, whose wife Missy is here with him today. There she is. Thank you. David Smith, whose wife Carol is with him today. Roland Mack. Edith Jaseco Burton. Is Victoria Gray here somewhere else? Come on up. Sandra McMullen and her baby Fiona. Rebecca Russell and their son Natty. Not able to be with us today are returning member Marg Rose and new member Caroline Tashish Rentz. You can read about our new members in the new member booklet. For now, let's all stand as we are able and join in the responsive reading that's located on the back. I will begin. These persons of faith stand before you in formal recognition of their belonging in this religious community.
I come as a seeker, searching for a sense of belonging to something greater than myself, longing for a deeper connection to the sacred in life, seeking acceptance and support as I strive to become my best self. A new member of this community, I pledge to share my stories, my gifts, my insights, and my love, as we work together to care more for one another and the larger world we all share.
We welcome you among us. We promise to be open to your wisdom, to appreciate your gifts, and to support you in your striving. We acknowledge that with your arrival, we are changed, and we embrace that change, for your presence enriches us. Together, we reaffirm our mission, strengthened in spiritual growth, supported in community, energized by diversity, we strive to transform ourselves and our world through compassionate action. So may it be. The congregation may be seated. Now we extend to our new members the hand of fellowship, which will be given on behalf of the congregation by myself and our Vice President, Lorna Anthony, who is stepping in for our president, Shirley Travis, who sends her warm wishes from afar. New members will each be presented with the gift of a flower, a symbol of the joy that we feel that they have chosen to share the beauty of their growing spirits with us. As I welcome each person, I invite you to repeat their name. So I will say, welcome, so-and-so, and then you say, welcome, so-and-so. Here we go. Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, Sarah.
Welcome, Doug.
Welcome,
Jeff. Welcome, David.
Welcome, David.
Welcome, Roland.
Welcome, Roland.
Welcome, Edith.
Welcome, Edith.
Welcome, Victoria.
Welcome, Victoria.
Welcome, Sandra.
Welcome, Sandra.
Welcome, Fiona.
Welcome, Fiona.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Welcome, Rebecca.
Welcome, Natty.
Welcome, Russ.
Welcome,
Russ.
Thank you, everyone, new members, after you get your flower. If you are helping me with the game, please stay up here. Otherwise, you can return to your seats. I invite any children who are out there to come up front if you'd like. If you're new, feel free to bring a grown-up with you. These new members have agreed to play with us our Getting to Know You game, the one called Two Truths and a Lie. Each person on a team of three will make one statement. Two people on the team will be saying something that is true. One person on the team will be saying something that is not true. It's our job to guess which one is not true. First up, we have Rebecca, Russell, and Natty. Rebecca is first. Oh, wait. Okay.
I have kissed a giraffe.
Then Russell.
I'm learning to play the banjo.
Natty.
I've never had stitches.
He's never had stitches. Okay. Raise your hand if you think it is not true that Rebecca has kissed a giraffe. Raise your hand if you think it is not true that Russ is learning to play the banjo. Raise your hand if you think it's not true that Natty has never had stitches. Okay, which one of you was saying that was telling the thing that's not true? Natty. Do you want to, what is true?
I have had stitches.
You have had stitches. And where did you get your stitches?
Mexico.
In Mexico. On your body. Where on your body did you have your stitches?
My chin.
On your chin. Oh, is it all better now? Yes. Yes. Good. Thank you.
You actually kissed a giraffe?
She actually kissed a giraffe. Nice tracking. That was some good tracking there. Okay, so the next team, we are playing as a team. We have Sandra, Fiona, and Victoria. So, Sandra, you go first.
I'm getting married this year.
And can you say Fiona's, please?
I like to play on the piano.
Okay. Victoria.
Where I am. Gray is the name of my Canadian husband.
Gray is the last name of her Canadian husband. Okay, raise your hand if you think it is not true that Sandra's getting married this year. See, you read the bio. That's the thing, right? The answer's in the bio. Raise your hand if you think Fiona actually does not like to play on the piano. Okay? Raise your hand if you think that Gray is not the last name of Victoria's Canadian husband. Oh, okay. Who's telling the untruth? Victoria, tell us, what is the truth?
The truth is that my great-grandfather migrated from Scotland, I believe, to Colombia. He married a Colombian woman, and the great family started in my country long time ago.
Thank you. Okay, our last team is Edith, Roland, and Doug. Edith, what is your statement?
I love both opera and jazz.
Okay, Roland?
I like to watch sports on television, but I do not because I canceled my cable TV.
And Doug?
My dreams often feature items having a very distinct maple syrup color.
All right. Raise your hand if you think Edith does not love both opera and jazz. Okay. Raise your hand if you think that Roland either does not like to watch sports on TV or he did not cancel his cable television. Okay. Raise your hand if you think that Doug's dreams do not often feature items having a very distinct maple syrup color. Okay. Who is telling the fib?
I've never been able to distinguish one color from another in my dreams, even though I sometimes dream in Technicolor.
All right. Thank you, new members, and thank you, kids, for playing our game.
I've been attending this church this month to better understand what stillness is and how I might possibly achieve it. To be honest, I'm not feeling very optimistic. You see, I've struggled to find that inner stillness that we talk about. You wouldn't think it would be that hard to just take a moment and be still. However, my life is constantly in a state of busyness. For example, I work full-time for a national grocery distributor. Some might think this is a Monday to Friday job. Officially, yes, it is. However, grocery stores only close one day of the year. Some weeks I seem to be working almost 7 days, including when on vacation. Then there are the normal household chores that need to be done. My wife, Sharon, and I share these duties. I have a 92-year-old mother who suffers from Parkinson's disease. She uses a wheelchair to get around and resides in a long-term care facility. I look after her finances and other needs, and also to try to fit in a minimum of 2 visits to her each week. As you can see today, I'm a worship associate here at First Victoria. There's some time that goes into preparing for worship, attending meetings, and so on. I volunteer one night each week at a local shelter, serving food, coffee, and other things, other food items. I chair a monthly meeting of a fellowship outside of church, which takes up some more time each month. Then, for myself, the most important thing in my life is to attend 3 to 5 other meetings each week so that I can maintain my sobriety. At some point in there, I try to work on my hobby, which is woodworking or reading a novel. Oh, yeah, I can't forget. I want to spend some time with Sharon to talk about our day, to go for walks, and just to be together. For some reason, I just cannot seem to find the time to just sit still. When I do take some time for my body to be still, I struggle to get my mind to be still, with constant thoughts of work, chores, meetings, other activities. Or when I do get my mind to settle down, I end up falling asleep. So for now, I look forward to coming to church each week, for I have found that I have been able to achieve some stillness in my day during our meditation time.
How much stillness do you have in your life? How often does your body experience stillness? Perhaps more challenging, how often does your mind experience stillness? I, for one, very much identify with Larry's struggle to find a moment to intentionally practice stillness. Remember the frazzled thing from last month's kids' message? It was during the hubbub of the holidays, and many of us said, "Yes, that's exactly how I feel, a frazzled thing." Well, here's the antidote image from a different children's book. "Sometimes I like to stand still as a tree and watch everyone rush around about me." This is what we are going for this month, stillness. There was a moment this summer when I felt it. We had some out-of-town guests, and the kids, ours and theirs, got themselves into mission mode about blackberry hunting. I had driven them to a good spot. The kids picked pails full, and afterwards we tramped through a little forest with a meandering stream. I'd never been there before, so we all enjoyed the adventure of not knowing exactly what we would see next, as well as the little thrill of not knowing exactly how hard it would be to get back. It was good to be in nature. We live in such a beautiful place, and yet it seems I need visitors to actually appreciate it all. Anyway, it had been a nice little jaunt. The kids had had a good time, and I was feeling good about having successfully led us in a big loop that actually did bring us back to the beginning of the trail. We all sat down on the grass to wait for Shauna, who is meeting us soon. I laid down under a tree and looked up at the sky through the leaves. There's something about the combination of lying down and the visual focus of the sky through the leaves. For me, it's like a shortcut to the usually elusive sense of relaxation and stillness. It was a lovely moment. I wondered, why don't I do this more regularly in my life? I know some of you do have a regular practice that does this for you, yoga or meditation or some such. I also hear that others of you, like Larry and me, struggle. Last week, we heard from Reverend Shauna about the challenges and benefits of finding stillness in our lives. Today, we get the chance to practice. We'll try out several different methods, As we go through each one, you might want to consider whether you would like to integrate any of them into your own lives. In the material for our Soul Matters theme groups, there's a quotation that summarizes a concept from Eckhart Tolle. Silence is no noise outside. Stillness is no noise inside. A corollary of this point is that inner stillness does not necessarily require outer silence. In fact, I find that closing my eyes and focusing on the sounds around me can actually help me quiet the noise and tumult of my own inner voices. It's as if by shifting my focus to the sounds outside of me, the inner noise fades away for lack of attention. Sometimes when I do this, boundaries between myself and the world soften, and I feel like I'm merging with the world around me. It's a visceral sense of my theological belief in interconnection. I get a glimmer of feeling held in the larger web of life. It reminds me of that feeling I used to get when I was a child falling asleep in the back seat of a car after a long day's adventure. The steady movement of the car, the swishing sounds of traffic, blending with the murmuring voices of the grown-ups up front, held me in a soothing sense of comfort and safety that lulled me to sleep. Let's try it. Let's take a minute to close our eyes and listen to the sounds around us. Let the sounds pull your focus outside of yourself and see if you can imagine merging with the web of life that holds you. Listening to sound is one way to find inner stillness. Producing sound through chants or singing is another way. I thought we could give it a try today with our meditation on breathing. This is the one with three different vocal parts. Our choir will lead us. You can sing whichever parts you wish, perhaps even moving from one to the other. Try to let go of whatever else is going on in your mind and lose yourself in the singing. Like wading into a warm and inviting body of water, immerse yourself in the music. Let it take you where it will. As is done with chants, we'll sing these lines more times than usual, so we have time to sink into it. Thank you. invite you now to join me in a four-part meditation from Buddhist monk Thich Nhat Hanh. This meditation asks us to imagine ourselves as different elements in nature, a flower, a mountain, still water, and air, which he calls space. The more you open yourself to your imagination and really picture yourself becoming the focus element, the more effective the experience. As you are able, sit up straight, both feet on the ground. Get yourselves comfortable as you can. Close your eyes and breathe in. Breathe out. We begin with a flower. You choose the color or kind you wish to be. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. Breathing in, I see myself as a flower. Breathing out, I feel fresh. Breathe in, flower. Breathe out, fresh. Now we shift to the image of a mountain. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I feel solid. Breathing in, I see myself as a mountain. Breathing out, I feel solid. Breathe in, mountain. Breathe out, solid. Still water is next. Breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect things as they are. Breathing in, I see myself as still water. Breathing out, I reflect things as they are. Breathe in, still water. Breathe out, reflecting. Keep going. Lastly, we picture ourselves as air, space. If it helps, picture yourself as the big blue sky with lots of space in and around you. Breathing in, I see myself as space. Breathing out, I feel free and at ease. Breathing in, I see myself as space. Breathing out, I feel free. Breathe in, space. Breathe out, free. Do that a few more times. One of the benefits to stillness is that it clears some space for us to listen to the still small voice within. This is a phrase from Hebrew scripture that locates the divine or God within our own being. It is a very Unitarian Universalist notion. Whether you think of it as the voice of God, the wisdom of your body, an inner knowing grounded in the traditions of your ancestors or the call of the interconnected web of which you are a part. Making time to listen to the still small voice within can have the effect of resetting one's direction, like getting back onto the path that your deepest self yearns to follow. In our Soul Matters themes groups, we pose the question, if you were to listen to your inner voice every morning or every evening, what would it say? Again, this exercise works best if you can lean into your imagination. What is the still small voice trying to tell you? What do you need to hear at this moment on your life journey? I invite you to ponder those questions as the choir sings, and in the minute of silence that will follow, feel free to sing with or hum along with the choir. It's a good song to add to your mental library of musical meditations, a good song to begin a conversation with the still small voice. Listen to the still small voice within. What is it saying to you? What do you need to hear at this particular moment in your life? Sometimes inner stillness is achieved through physical stillness. It can also be achieved through motion, yoga, tai chi, walking, running, and so on. Walking the labyrinth is an ancient moving meditation that can help you tune into the still small voice within. A labyrinth is not a maze. There are no dead ends, no tricks, no decision points. You follow the path as it wends and winds its way toward the center, and then follow the same path out. The path provides a rich metaphor for life. The walking forward through time, the twists and turns along the way, the moving in toward one's own spiritual center and back out into the world. I remember walking a labyrinth once with a group of people and realizing that how I interacted with my fellow participants also offered an opportunity for spiritual insight. I silently walked alongside the others, sometimes passing those who are slower, sometimes allowing their pace to set my own pace, stepping to the side to make room for those on the way out as I was coming in. It was all metaphor. How do I interact with fellow travelers on life's journey, and how do those interactions affect my own spiritual journey? There's no right way to walk a labyrinth, but there are some suggested methods from which you can choose. One way imagines the journey in three parts. On the way in, you focus on letting go, releasing. Perhaps you let go of distractions, the noise in your mind, things or ways of being that are keeping you from living your life the way you want to live it. When you reach the center, you pause there and focus on letting in. You open yourself to whatever you need to hear or receive, be it from divine guidance or inner wisdom. And as you follow the return path, you focus on letting out. Whatever wisdom or insight or sense of connection you experienced in the receiving, you let it flow out through you, empowering you to act when you return to the world. Another method suggests bringing a struggle or challenge or question to your labyrinth walk. Maybe you've been struggling with an emotion, grief, or depression, or anger. You take that to the labyrinth, hold it as you walk the path inward, perhaps asking something like, "What do I do with this? How do I move forward?" Or maybe it's a difficulty in relationship that you carry with you. Relating to this person isn't working. What do I do? Some face difficult decisions and bring those to the labyrinth. Which should I choose? You hold your challenge or question as you walk all the way to the center. Then at the center, you pause and open yourself to anything you might receive in communion with the still small voice within. Then on your way out, you take that insight or feeling into your being and imagine how it will flow through you into your actions when you re-enter the world. I invite you to take some time now to ponder, if you were to walk a labyrinth, what would you carry with you? What challenge or puzzle or difficulty are you struggling with in your life right now? What question might you hold as you walk a labyrinth? We have two experienced labyrinth walkers here today who have agreed to be guides for whoever would like to walk our church's labyrinth at the end of today's service. Kimberly Bramadat and Sharon Alexander. There's Kimberly in the back. Where's Sharon? There's Sharon. Thank you. Our labyrinth is outside behind the farmhouse, so you might want to bring your coats and rain gear. Think of how rich the metaphor could be, walking a labyrinth in this weather, so that you can have a relatively peaceful transition from the sanctuary to the labyrinth. I will invite the labyrinth walkers to follow Kimberly and Sharon to the labyrinth during the musical benediction, which is before the farewell song. You will walk the labyrinth in silence, but Kimberly and Sharon will be on hand to quietly consult with any of you who wish additional instruction or clarification. Whether you walk the labyrinth or not, I hope you find some time to pursue whatever practices help you achieve inner stillness. I hope you are able to give your spirit the opportunity to receive whatever your spirit most needs at this point in your lives. Next week, Reverend Shauna will talk about revelations and insights that can result from practicing stillness. For now, let us stand and sing together.